This live broadcast of the Petersburg School Board meeting is brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset, from stamp or teacup collections to houses and boats of all sizes, and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.
Here, Mara Lutomsky. Here, Cheryl File.
Here.
Jane Lister.
Here.
Janine Gibbons.
Excused for illness.
Okay. Casey Evans.
Here.
Okay, let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, I'd like to make a motion to approve the agenda. Is there a second? Seconded by Jay. Any discussion about the agenda? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. All right. So we are going to open the night with Cindy Fry and her students, and they will be providing an overview of the recent post-secondary career transition camp that was held in Petersburg just a few weeks ago.
Thank you. So with me tonight, I have Katasha Hudson and Elizabeth Stewart, who are some of our students that participated in our transition conference. This is our first one we've had here in Petersburg. It's something we've talked about for a couple years, so we're pretty excited to actually make it happen. It's in collaboration with CERC, with Department of Vocational Rehabilitation, with Tribal Vocational Rehabilitation, and our fabulous community of Petersburg. So we want to thank all the community members that were involved in it. I've got a PowerPoint behind you. So our day one and two schedule, and they were heavily loaded schedules. So we actually, the students came in, and I believe we had 16 students come in, and those were on the staff in-service days. So technically, these were days off for our students. And when I was communicating and collaborating with CERC, they were kind of concerned. Would students really come in on their days off? And we had a fabulous turnout and fabulous interaction. So we were really impressed with our students and our community members there. So you can see we started with Steve Giesbrick, who did our opening statement, and just talking about our borough and where we're going. Lonnie Upshaw came from the Salvation Army, talked about the services that that she does there and how they contribute to our community. We spoke with Elizabeth Spence at the Juneau Job Center and learned all the wonderful things that they do there to help people with employment and preparing for employment. And we did a site visit out to KFSK, and maybe the girls can say a few things about that. How was the site visit to the radio?
It was good. It was kind of crowded. Because we were trying to squeeze into one little room, and it got really warm in there.
Yeah, it's pretty warm. Pretty amazing all the things that KFSK does to help us understand what's going on in our community, and I think that came apparent through that site visit. And then Trooper Cody Lister came in, and the kids were super engaged with that slideshow that he brought about all the experiences you get as a trooper and the places you get to go and the things you get to learn and kind of how he got into that job field. On our second day, so the first day is focused on the community. Who are you in your community? And there was some self-exploration in there, as well as with our speakers. And then day two, the focus on skill training for employment, finding and keeping a job. So we had Darby Manley come in from Manley Electric. We went and did a site visit at the PIA Compost Center, which was really fascinating what they do there and how they got involved and how they advocate for our fisheries and everywhere that PIA is really engaged in our community, which was really interesting to find out. Liz Cabrera came in from Economic Development and the borough and kind of talked about where our borough is going economically and the kind of jobs and things happening there. And then we did a dual site visit. One was out to the medical center, and the kids who went there, did either of you go to the medical center?
I went to the medical
Okay, so can you talk about that for a minute?
It was really cool, actually. I learned that you could do a lot of things in the medical center if you work there. You can learn about medicine and mental health. You can work with kids that are, like, dealing with, like, certain type of, like, speech or...
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really cool.
Yeah, and they talked about the CNA program that's there, which is a great job training program, and all the different aspects of all the different types of jobs that happen at the medical center. The other group, which I went with, was out at Piston and Rudder, and so you can see we were looking at one of the boats that were pulled out, and Mike Lehr did a fabulous job showing us all the different things that they do there for the boats in our community and how they service. And also some of the history of some of those buildings were really fascinating. We came back from our quick break and talked to Aptech and learned about the training programs that are up at Aptech, which there's never enough time to talk about that for our students because they are just a great boat tech program in our state. And then Dave Booker came in from Alaska Airlines and talked about Alaska and the service industry and what kind of people they look for and what job skills they look for there. So another jam-packed day full of fabulous opportunities for our students. When the next slide pops up, you can see this is the composting plant in the one picture, and then Dave Booker was an example of how the speakers came into the classroom, and the students had papers that they would fill out that had different questions on them that were all job related. So they were very engaged. It was open, kind of open forum. They could ask questions, just really talked about the jobs and what they look for in an employee. And how and which employees do they keep and why do they let people go and, you know, do they like to do that and how uncomfortable that is. They'd rather get a good employee and keep a good employee. So that I thought was valuable information for students to hear. And some more pictures, maybe. There they are. So once again, the PIA visit and then more of the Piston Rudder, just kind of how we got the full tour and descriptions of different jobs there and what training is needed. And then students had their own learning that they did during those downtimes between presenters and site visits. And so during those times, they're really doing a lot of self-assessment, a lot of career interest inventories, and a lot of personality assessments, really learning about themselves, which just helps all of us know where we want to go and how we get there and what tools we need to be successful. So there's a lot of self-discovery that happened through those learning opportunities there. And this was, like I said, a three-day from 8 to 5 conference. So they were on a work schedule. And we took lunch and we had breakfast when they came in. So day 3, we had a visit to the harbor. And that was, once again, fabulous. Karen Malcolm, the students went to the rec center and learned about yoga, relaxation, some stress management strategies. And then Rocio came in from First Bank and talked about personal finance and how to make sound decisions when you leave high school and what do credit cards and how does interest compile and what does that all mean and how the companies really are seeking you out to get you hooked. And so they did a lot of learning there. And then we ended our entire conference with what's called person-centered plans. And so you can see there's Zach Christensen up on the screen. And each of the students were responsible to just identify some strengths that they had, some areas of need, what support bases they have in, what their future plans are, and how they're going to get there. So here's a couple more presenters showing and talking back with their peers about their person-centered plans. So they were given prompts on the slide and they had to fill them out. So you see Avery McAdams, and we have Kingston Buckner there. And these two girls also did those, and they were absolutely fabulous. So at the end of it, they did a lot of listening, a lot of learning, and as you can see from this picture, there was a lot of laughter in that too. So it's just a fabulous experience we could offer for our students here at Petersburg. Yeah. Do you have any questions?
Did you guys, at the end of your conference, have kind of any change or ideas about what you want to do when you graduate? Career paths? Or did it spark any interest in certain things?
Well, I did have this. I did change. Well, bleh, bleh.
That's okay.
I did change what I wanted to do. I decided I wanted to change into a video game designer. Don't judge me. But
That's great. Katasha, did you have any ideas or change anything, or did it just solidify what you want to go and do?
I kind of like want to do either doctors or in with mechanics. Cause I work with my dad with mechanics a lot.
Any other questions? We're hoping we'll be able to do this. We wanted to collaborate with other communities in Southeast. We did a lot of reach out to different communities in hopes that they would bring their students to us and we could have a, you know, this is a really good sized group. 16 was a nice number to be able to do this with. But we were hoping we could get, like I said, our neighboring communities, Wrangell, out to POW, out to Cake, you know, the smaller schools, and to have them come and join us. And the hope was that we would be able to go out to their communities in future years and kind of rotate around our small communities in Southeast. So that's still our goal for the future, is to be able to still collaborate with them. We definitely will collaborate with CIRC in the future and do it here again. And I'm not sure if that'll be next year or the year after, but that's definitely on the radar because I think it was such a valuable experience for our students.
Yeah.
So, really,
I want to recognize all of the work, too, that Cindy Bry and Bridget Woodstock both put into bringing this here and organizing it all and working with CIRC on it. It was a big undertaking, and they had a lot of positive things to say about the organizational efforts. So
yeah.
I just want to recognize their work as well.
Kind of the bonus on all of it, all of our students that participated in the 3 days were able to get one college credit from the University of Alaska Anchorage. So, you know, for 3 days worth of effort and tons of learning about themselves, they're also benefiting already at the secondary level from that. So it's fabulous.
Very nice.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. All right, we'll move right into our student representative report from Mr. Casey Evans.
All right. Well, it's almost the end of the year, so everybody's getting pretty excited for that. Finals week is coming up next week, so hopefully that goes well.
No hoping.
We have a holiday spirit week going on right now. Monday was pajamas day. Today was ugly sweater. Tomorrow is going to be blue Christmas or Hawaiian shirts. Thursday is holiday character day, and then Friday is red versus green, where juniors and seniors wear red and freshmen and sophomores wear green.
It's fun.
We're having a canned food drive this week in the high school, so if anybody wants to, they can come by, bring cans, help donate. And Friday, December 22nd, our last day of school for the semester, we're going to be doing a community service day for the high school, and that's going to be from 9 to 2, where students will have a bunch of activities to choose from, like Salvation Army bell ring, musicians at Mountain View Manor, baking, Yule bucking cookies, wrapping presents, KFSK help, and other activities. So we're just trying to give back to the community for all they do for us. And yeah, that's it.
That's great. Thank you. All right, moving into correspondence, we do have one letter from Mr. Jim Engel, who is the president of the Associated Teachers of Petersburg, and he just writes, "Dear President Mara Lutomsky, the Associated Teachers of Petersburg is requesting to open negotiations with the Petersburg School Board in January 2018. Thanks. Thank you for your consideration, Jim Engel." So, in a year for negotiations. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Any comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items? Any comments from the audience related to the agenda items? Any comments from board members? All right.
Just make up some comments.
Comments from over the show. Right. moving into the consent agenda. I will make a motion to approve the consent agenda, which includes November monthly accounting report, regular meeting minutes from last meeting, two extra duty contracts for high school girls assistant basketball, as well as middle school wrestling. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Jay. Any discussion? All right. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Moving right into administrative reports, we'll start with Superintendent Clute Painter.
What's going on this month? We are gearing up for, as Casey said, getting ready for finals and kind of finishing out the quarter here in the high school. Also preparing for our second round of map testing coming up after Christmas, which is our second round of the, our new District K-10 testing that we're doing this year. So that will be our second administration of that. Doing some work with the PEAKS assessment also, preparing for the state assessment in end of March and beginning of April. And Bridget Woodstock's been leading a couple of sessions there with teachers, just the department sending out quite a few updates as we're nearing that time of what kinds of things to prepare for and when practice tests will be out. So we're making some good progress there and some conversations about end of course requirements for Algebra 1. There's some talk about that too that might affect how the state assessment works for our 10th graders in particular. We are also gearing up for a couple of professional development opportunities for staff, both of which are paid for out of grants, which is great. We have the Effective Instruction Conference coming up in January. We have a pretty large team of teachers that's going to that. That is the RTI Response to Intervention conference. It's a great conference. Anita Archer's there, a lot of writer workshop opportunities, and continued efforts to help staff members work with different types of learners in our classrooms. So we're excited about that. I think we have 7 people going to that. So some of us may be in classrooms covering classes, which would be great too. ASTE, the technology conference, is coming up. That's also one that's paid for out of grant. We have, I believe, 3 that are going to that. Mrs. Tolan's going, and a couple of other teachers. So we're always excited about that conference as well, and hoping to have some IDITA contest entries. We often do really well up there with those too, so we're looking forward to that. I think that might be about it for me. There's lots of other pieces here with strategic planning that we'll get to through the agenda, but I also did want to give Irene a couple minutes, maybe, if you guys wanted to hear a little bit about a couple things from her conference that she went to. She went to the executive assistant. Well, do you want to come up here and just give a couple highlights so they can hear you?
Yeah,
okay.
That makes fine.
Perfect. We won't make you stand.
It's on my team.
I wanted you to, share a few.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you.
I attended the Administrative Executive Secretaries, from AASB conference for 2 days in Anchorage. And the agenda was packed with wonderful things, and they asked us in the beginning, what do you hope to take away? And so many of them just had a specific thing, and I'm like, no, bring it on. I need all of it. So anyway, here's the agenda that that they gave us, and it was the first one is new laws and regulations, and there aren't going to be too many changes coming down, from them. So that was good. Tips on Robert's Rules of Order, took away a few things for that. Background checks from the Department of Public Safety. I-9 forms, which is more Karen thing, but it was nice to understand and hear about that. Policy tracking, taking the mess out of minutes, which I love, and job descriptions, sharing tips and ideas, and then finally a solution room where we got to talk about various things. And what I think is so amazing at these workshops is there's about 21, 22 of us, and every district does things just a little bit differently, and so what you can do is, just get all these ideas and see how it fits into your your school system. And one of the things that I learned is AASB is going to provide a service for a fee, of course, but and the policy committee might like this, that for a fee, they will go through your entire policy manual and find any discrepancies or maybe some notes that got dropped off, or if something's not updated, they will compare it to their master policy for AASB, and then they will give you a report. It'll take them a year to do it. I think they were quoting $1,200 to do that, but it sounds like a really nice way to clean up a lot of that. Maybe things that have been missed, but that was just one of the 5,000 things that I got from it. So I was thrilled to go, and I can't wait to go next year if that works out. So I appreciate it, and I try to get as much as I can out of it. So thank you for that.
Thanks. Yeah, thank you for attending.
Thanks.
All right, principal's report. This is Terry Tolan, principal of the elementary school.
Well, it's that fun time of year again in the elementary school. Christmas is upon us, and as you know, we have an extra week between Thanksgiving and Christmas this year, and it's going to be an interesting week and a half. Lots of excited kids. Also, there's been a lot of illness, as you know, and hopefully we're seeing a decrease in absences. We've been around 50 kids absent in our school, and today we were down to 35, so hopefully that's showing a trend that we're going to be not having so many sick kids. We had our hurricane relief fund and for Puerto Rico, and our school raised $2,333 for that. We want to thank students and community members for helping with that. Also, we've had our garden fundraiser going on. It's currently going on. We have three left, three paperweight white narcissus. And so if anybody wants to stop by the office, proceeds go toward our garden for seed, soil, and then we harvest that for our salad bar and to enhance some of our entrees as well. So all goes to a very good cause. Conferences were well attended. We want to thank all the families that continue to come in, and we have such great attendance. We appreciate them taking the time to come in, and it's such a good opportunity to communicate about each individual student. Very important. This year we had a little Christmas program yesterday, actually. Had some positive feedback about that. We generally had a sing-along in the auditorium, and parents wanted to come, and so we just had enough room for parents, and we think it was a good experience. The kids liked it and hope that the parents did as well. We have some visitors from Tanzania, and I hope I get the name right, the Quais, and Rose is coming into the elementary and visiting with students about their culture, showing slides of the school, talking about money and food and differences, some language, and so it's been fun for the kids to experience that. She'll be with us throughout the week and get to go to all the classrooms, so we appreciate, I believe it's the Lutheran Church who has coordinated that. Also, we had our Partners in Education meeting today, and we are having a Hawaiian Hangout activity in February, so we're looking forward to that. Lots of fun ideas from the Student Council, and it's a fun time of year to shake it up a little bit. So that's what's going on in the elementary. Any questions? All right, thank you.
Principal Rick Dormer, principal of the middle school and high school.
Good evening. Yeah, busy time, fun times, you know, lots of excitement, lots going on, as we know. Just start off, one of my favorite things happened, the middle school concert. It's this Thursday at 7 p.m., so fun to see those musicians as they've been growing and learning, and it's just such a huge jump from that initial concert, especially the sixth grade band. So that's a fun group to watch there that's coming up this Thursday. And then the following week, the high school concert's there, 7 p.m. On Tuesday, and that's also a great one to watch our high school musicians. That includes choir in there and the jazz band and the concert band, so that's fun too. We're coming up to celebrate the holiday season. It'll be great. We did, as Principal Tolan said, wrap up conferences. Thank you again so much. Great to see parents in here. I always like to put that plug out there that if parents couldn't make it in, as she mentioned, there's a lot of people sick too, and we heard a few people who couldn't make it in for busy time. We just love still meeting with parents around this time of year as we're closing up the first semester and quarter two in both buildings. So encourage parents to make those phone calls and connect with teachers they couldn't make it in because, again, a lot of people out sick, we know, in busy times. So, but thanks. We had a good turnout and great to have parents in there and meet and connect about kids. A lot of the stuff that you heard from Casey, again, the canned food drive is going up, which is awesome. He's on the SB too, and the students, again, just a great time of year to give and to think of others, and even just outside your family, but just supporting your community and being involved in that. And they'll do, the student council crew will, you know, obviously help organize the canned food drive, but also help bring it over to Salvation Army and get it over there. So it's cool for them being involved in that process and see one of the key pieces of our community, something we do to care for others. As I said, finals week is coming up next week, and that's a big time, and especially for those freshmen, it's the first finals week for them, and the end of the quarter two for middle school and high school, and then for the high school, that means the end of semester one and those permanent grades that go on the transcripts, so big stress time, and also a fun time to wrap up projects and classes and units of study, and Casey doesn't look stressed at all. You've done this a couple times, though. Yeah, so it's cool. That's again, that we're taking us right to the break, end of the semester. As he said, also that Friday is a community service day. Just watch for that. Cool. Hopefully the community, you know, school board and everybody will see the kids out and about doing cool stuff. It's neat to have just a different way to do it. That week looks like, again, Monday we'll see all of our classes, and then we jump into finals Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then that Friday right before break, the middle school's on a special schedule, and they do some, you know, fun activities after they get through their course. And then, again, the high school kids are going to meet and then go out in different places all over the community and volunteer, as Casey said. And then we'll come back together and kind of debrief and reflect and then head home for a wonderful holiday break. So that's cool. That's going to be coming up. And that's the first time we've done something quite this extensive. So we're excited to get that going. And then also just we in the middle school, our robotics club, in their second year wrapped up competition. I think we saw them here a while back and all the cool stuff they do, programming robots. And they did really well. They got 14th out of 23 teams, which sounds, I know we're always looking for first, but I know that they also had a really young team. We had a lot of kids graduate up. I think we only had one member who had been there before, and it was as a sixth grader. So we had a young team going over there, and they did really well. They had 55 points, which is, I think, exceeded their personal team expectations and found some success. And anyway, just the complexity of programming a robot and when to move it and when not to. And anyway, it sounded like they had a really good experience, learned a lot, felt really good about what they did. So we have so many cool activities, and this is one of them. I concluded there, wrapped up for the year. So, again, lots of other things. I know Mr. Cabral's coming up behind me with lots to talk about. Any questions for me? Okay, thanks.
Director of Activities, Mr. Jamie Cabral.
Robotics was awesome. They were so excited to get on that plane. Oh my gosh. A lot of excitement in there. And their problem this year, or their category, was hydrodynamics. So everything had to deal with hydrodynamics and everything else. So it's pretty cool. And kind of talking with them. There's 18 challenges. How do you guys feel comfortable with all of them? Like four or five. So real good about these ones. And so it was good. They did awesome. And I got the updates from Mrs. Etcher. She was keeping me posted. Just going, round one done, and we scored this many. I'm like, yes, keep them going. And so it was awesome. I was feeling intense just from text messages. So it was good. But before we met last time, we had our state musicians that went up. We had three girls qualify for the all-state music competition up in Anchorage, and Jasmine Irimia, Eva Lenhard, and Julia Murph represented Petersburg High School there, so they did a great job up there. To congrats to Mr. Lenhard. Wrestling just got back from regionals and performed well. We had 10 total students down there. We had two region champions with Jalyn Toyomura and Tegan Schwartz, and then Ruby Manson, one of our freshmen, finished runner-up, so she's going to state. We have 7 total going to state, and they leave tomorrow, so congrats, Coach V, on a fabulous season so far. And so they'll head up tomorrow up to Anchorage, and hopefully it stays warm up there. And then, yes, our robotics team did fantastic. Basketball has started, and cheer started, and middle school wrestling starts January 10th. And you're just going crazy, and the volleyball team did awesome up at state, and they did wonderful. Did it the hard way, but thank you. They worked hard, and they worked for it, so it was really fun. And a lot of Region 5 support. It was kind of fun having Gustavus and Huna up there in the mix six, watching the three boys, three girls play on the other court, if you got to watch the stream, and Region 5 represented well. So 2 years in a row with the two Southeast teams in the state championships, so it was pretty cool. But if you can just imagine a 6'5 kid from Gustavus that was really big kid. We called a timeout. It was just really fun because all the girls went, oh my gosh, and he boomed a ball. And the whole gym just went, oh, and it was really hard. He hit it really hard, so big boy. So that's about it in our world. Slowing down a little bit. Questions?
Okay.
And do we have a report from Dan?
Yep, just a couple updates. He has been out sick as well. It does seem to be flowing through each department, and everybody's not going down at the same time, which is good, so we seem to be managing that. So anyway, a couple things there. One of the things is we are doing a lot of cleaning, and we are asking really everyone that comes into the building, grab a wipe when you go up the stairs, wipe down the rail, when you come back down, wipe the doorknob. So anyway, and lots of hand washing and that sort of thing with kids and all those things too. So we appreciate their extra efforts in those areas. There's some construction work going on behind the school, as people probably knew from this weekend with the dance recital. That is the work going on with the borough to get the PFI electrical service that's overhead under the street, and it should be done by about April 15th is the deadline for that, and that is under Carlo Hagerman's direction with, you know, coordinating with us on the work there. And then coming up in December for Mr. Tate and his custodial crew, they at his conference that he went to this fall, he connected with somebody in Anchorage who does work in districts to help kind of find efficiencies with your crew and maximizing you know, what they do in a day and in their shift. So he does this work in districts, and then he kind of puts together like a whole plan so that, you know, if somebody else comes in, they know exactly what they're supposed to do. And anyway, so he's coming down over Christmas vacation when other people are off. They'll be here working and doing that work with him. So that's what's going on with maintenance, custodial.
And I just wanted to add that I had a discussion with Erica about the energy savings that we have been putting into action over at the Parks and Rec Center with keeping those doors closed, and we have seen a significant amount of energy savings. So thanks to the community for hanging with having those doors closed. It's really nice to be able to save that money instead of having it go right out the doors.
Yeah, literally out the doors, yeah. So Jody has given us a little update there. We should ask her again for another one because she was pretty excited about that. So.
Yeah. I would like to commend the maintenance staff when we were all sliding all over the place in this community before the rain started, and how noticeably clear the sidewalks were and the entrances of the school district buildings compared to other buildings in town, you got to the school and it was, oh, I'm safe. I can walk now. It was just noticeable, very noticeable, and how they were on it right away and substantially better than other facilities, you know, whether they're private or public in the community. It was noticeable to me.
That's nice. Thanks.
Keeping us all safe.
Yeah.
Despite this ice.
The ice, yes. And a couple days there that were rough.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right, school board committee reports. Curriculum and technology, do you have an update, Sarah?
I don't have any updates.
Crisis and policy, Cheryl, have you guys met?
Nope. Nothing.
Facilities, Jay?
Nope.
Nothing's going on in the legislative front quite yet. Negotiations, myself and Cheryl, sounds like we will be meeting in January, starting to meet in January. And Janine is not here to give a wellness report.
They do have a meeting scheduled, but maybe a conflict this week.
We're checking, but it's scheduled for Thursday. I think that's what they had. This Thursday the 14th.
So we'll
maybe
talk
a conflict,
about.
So it could be up in the air.
Okay. But we'll communicate with her as well.
Yes.
About that.
Great. All right. Special recognitions. It looks like we have a few awards to award to Carly Johnson.
You do. Yeah, we kind of. A few things kind of rolled in here the last few weeks that we just wanted to recognize her efforts. Sweet. The 2017 Western Region Summer Sunshine Award, bringing the farm to summer meals, and that was her partnership and that grant opportunity that she had to work with our Sprouts program and our garden program during the summer, and she was recognized for that. I think we get a cool banner and a big basket of some really interesting looking stuffed vegetables. So the kids will love those, I'm sure. But we appreciate her continued work in that area. And then also the Department of Ed recognized her as well for a local lunch day prize, and that was again an effort to reaching out for local foods, working with Farragut Farms. That's when we had Farragut Farm. Had some of the people come in, you know, to lunch. We like to invite our partners in and have lunch with us. So, and then we have some things to recognize her for in the financial department when we start talking about the audit. She has done a pretty amazing job there. So I'll let Karen and Vicki talk a little bit more about that. And then recognizing that our own Mara Latomsky got a basic workmanship award. So way to go, Mara.
A basic.
Next year, the moon.
All right, doesn't look like we have any old business, so moving on to new business. 16.1, we have fiscal year 17 audit presentation.
All right, let me find the number here.
So to open discussion, I will make a motion to approve the FY17 school district audit, which is conducted by BDO, which is the company that we go with. Is there a second to open it for discussion?
I'll second.
Seconded by Cheryl. And take it away, Karen and Vicki, when we get Vicki on the line.
Okay, so Vicki Shretsa is our lead auditor from BDO, and he's been auditing Petersburg School District's financial statements for several years before I even came on board. So he's well-versed in Petersburg School District finance, and he has a PowerPoint that he's going to talk about. And then also, I did want to recognize Carly Johnson because this is the first time, and I don't know how many years, maybe forever, that our food service program actually earned some money.
Wow.
Yep, $3,200.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep, so our revenue was higher than our expenditures. So that's... and we have such a high-quality program, too, so that's the other part of that. So that's really... That's right. So, anyways, I wanted to recognize her for that because that is a huge accomplishment. So, yep.
Sorry. It's the space phone.
It's a drone.
And I'm going to let Vicki do the talking, and then I'll come up if you guys have questions afterwards. And I texted him. He's on. He's waiting.
He's ready for us.
He's ready.
It's ringing.
Hello?
Hi, Vicki. This is Erica. How are you?
Good, Erica. How are you doing?
We're doing well. We're going to put you on the space phone here. I just like to call it that. Makes me happy.
Okay,
can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, we're going to move you a little bit so people can all hear you. I'm going to put your PowerPoint up, and then you can kind of talk us through when you want me to move the slides and all of that.
Okay, that sounds good. Hello, everybody. My name is Vicki Shretsa. I'm a director at BDO. I've been doing this presentation for the last few years. And then, so here we are again. Can everybody hear me fine?
Yes.
We can, yes. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So just to start off the presentation, I would like to start off by thanking all your staff over there for helping us get through this audit. I know this year was a little more difficult and a little more challenging than in the past year, but we're almost there. The draft financials you have in front of you is pretty close to being final. There's a couple of tiny changes. I got some comments from my reviewer, but it's mostly just some wording changes and a few things here and there, but nothing major changes on the draft. So, and based on that, we are expecting to issue December 15th, so this Friday. So we should have the financials, at least a PDF to the state on that day, and then we'll mail it out on that day too.
Sounds good.
On that note, we can go to the financial statements itself, and then I'll go through the slides, and basically now we'll go to page 2 on the slide, the first slide, and that has the independence auditor's report. Let me know when you're there, Erica.
Yes, I'm there, and we're on page 2.
Okay. So basically page 2, this is just an excerpt from the financial statements. Note, it's still in draft format, but this is what we're expecting the opinion to be. So basically, we've audited your financial statements, and then based on the audit, we're going to give you an unmodified opinion or a clean opinion. So that's what's expected, and we expect to issue on December 15, 2017. So at this point, I don't see why we wouldn't be doing that. So now we have to do a few subsequent event work, and we have to get a representation letter signed by management, and then we should be printing. So next slide. Next slide shows your statement of net position. This is also on page 6 of the financial statements. One thing to note is page 6 and 7, the statement of net position and statement of activities are your financials that are on an accrual basis of accounting. What that means is, like, those two statements have all of your assets and liabilities, including your long-term assets and long-term liabilities. The rest of the statements do not have your long-term assets and liabilities. So the rest of the statements are more on the budgetary basis. So your one-year budget of the information. Those are the information that are in the other financial statements after the first two. Statement of net position has your assets, your deferred outflow of resources, your liabilities, your deferred inflows of resources, and the difference between all of those, your net position for the year. Your total assets at the end of June 30, 2017 were $3.8 million. And this includes about $504,000 of long-term capital assets. Like I was saying earlier, these capital assets are not in any other financial statements after this schedule. And then it also includes your deferred outflow of resources of $1.3 million. This is all related to your net pension obligation. 3 years ago, GASB 68 came into place, and then during that time, because of that, the net pension liability for your employees that have worked over there in the past, for both your PERS and TERS, so PERS for your non-teacher employees and TERS for your teacher employees, are now on your financial statement. So because of that, your liability at the end of 2017 was $7 million, and out of that, $6.8 million of that is your net pension liability. And then the difference between all of that is your net position. You have a negative net position of $1.9 million, and this all results from the net pension liability that was added. On a different note, one thing to note on this is, even though you have this large liability as far as the district obligation goes, until the state changes their rules, you only have to pay 22% of the payroll for your PERS employees and 12.56% for your TERS employees. So even if the liability is huge, you're not responsible for paying all of that at once. And then adding to this, next year, GASB 75 comes, you have to apply GASB 75. So what that means is the $6.8 million over here is just the pension portion of the net pension obligation. So next year, your healthcare portion also comes in. So there's going to be additional liabilities, which is going to take your net position down even further in the future. Any questions on that? I had a lot of information on that slide.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
So following that, we will go to the next slide, and this is the governmental fund balance sheet, and this is on page 8 of the financial statements. So unlike the slide we just talked about earlier, these only have the information short term, so like basically 1 year liquid assets. Over here you have total assets at the end of 2017 of $3.5 million. Majority of your assets was cash, $2.7 million. Total liabilities was $436,000, leaving with you with a $3.1 million total fund balance. Of the total $3.1 million fund balance, $1,036,000 is in the general fund, and about $1.7 million is in your capital projects fund. Next slide, page 10 of the financial statement is your statement of revenue, expenditures, and changes in fund balance. So this is basically your income statement. So this shows all of your revenues for the year and all of your expenditures during the year. The total revenue for 2017 was $9.6 million. Out of that, $8.6 million was in the general fund. A large chunk of that is your foundation funding that you get. And then your total expenditures followed your revenue and for $9.4 million, leaving you with the excess of revenue over expenditures of $177,000. So you brought in more revenue than expenditures in FY17. That's how you got left with the $3.1 million of fund balance in the year. Next slide, operating transfers from the general fund in FY17. You transferred $21,000 to food service and $376,000 to capital projects fund from the general fund. Next slide is basically on page 32 of your financial statements. So this statement shows you on the high level for the general fund, your original budget, your final budget, and actual and the difference. So the original budget was the budget that the board passed before the fiscal year. And the final budget is the final amended budget based on everything else that happened during the year. So based on the original budget and the actual expenditures and revenue, you brought in $69,000 more revenue than you originally budgeted. And then you actually spent $307,000 less than what you originally budgeted as far as expenditures. But on the other note, you transferred $388,000 more than you originally budgeted out. So it's pretty, the original budget was not too far different than the final actual number. Then the next slide, schedule F1, if you wanted to look at more details of the general fund expenditures and revenue by in a more detailed level, you could see that from page 40 to 43, and this is where you could come and look for example, you know, for your instruction, how much was your certified payroll, your teacher's payroll, versus how much was your non-certified payroll or your energy cost, for example. For those information, you'd go to from page 40 to 43 in the general fund. Next slide is Erica. Let me know if I'm going too fast, by the way.
I think we're doing fine. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. So next slide is your combining balance sheet for your special revenue funds. So the school district, you get a lot of different grants mostly from federal and state agencies. And every grant is tracked separately in a fund. And so this schedule combines all of the special revenue funds, and majority of the time your special revenue funds, the revenue equals expenditures, and on some of these funds they don't equal, and we'll focus on those a little bit. So on your balance sheet right there, student transportation right now has a $101,000 fund balance remaining, and food service has $198,000. Next slide, page 45 of the financial statements. The only reason I wanted to show this is this one shows all of your restricted scholarship funds. So you have about $83,500 in restricted scholarship funds that you still hold at the school that's going to be given away. Next slide is your special revenue fund combining statement of revenue, expenditures, and changes in fund balance. Like I said, for most of these, the revenue equals expenditures, but for the ones that I'm pointing out, for student transportation, you spend $30,000 more than what you brought in during the year. Your food service, actually, you spend you brought in more revenue than your expenditures this year. That's probably the first time it has happened there. So you had a $3,326 basically profit over there. Next slide. So the same scholarship funds, you gave away about $4,300 of scholarships in FY17. And then the following slide, so schedules H1 to H24 in the financial statements give more details on the expenditures of these funds, the ones that are combined in the special revenue funds there. It gives you more detail of what kind of expenditures are made up of that. The slide after is the combining balance sheet for the capital projects funds. And this one shows you the breakdown of all your capital projects that you have going right now and the fund balance that you have available to spend on these capital projects in the future. So the $1.6 million breakdown, $582,000 is in your general capital projects, $376,000 is in your ADA fund, $385,000 is for your kitchen remodel. The next page over, basically this one shows you your revenue and expenditures for your capital project funds. In the next few years, as you do your capital projects, unless you get funding from the state, most of these the expenditures will probably be higher than revenue in most of these in the future. Following that, page 84 to 86 on Schedule J1 shows all of your activity for your student activity funds. So if you wanted to see how much balance remains on the different student agency fund by school, that's all presented on page 84 to 86. And then exhibit L1 is your State of Alaska funding, and page 90 and back is your compliance report. So we'll come back to those later. So following that, we have the 10-year comparison slides of what has happened to most of your important line items on the financial statements. So the first one we have is your total assets. Your total assets in 2008 was $2.3 million. At the end of 2017 was $3.5 million. Total fund balance, the next page, next slide. Total fund balance was $1.6 million in 2008. It has grown to $3.1 million as of 2017. Next slide, total revenues. And this total revenue excludes your PERS and TERS on behalf. 2008 was 7.9 million, and as of 2017, it's 9.1 million. Next slide, total expenditures follows the revenue completely. I mean, it's basically the same pattern over here. 2008, $7.7 million of expenditures, and as of 2017, we're at $9 million. And then your majority of your revenue comes from the general fund. So the next slide shows the general fund revenue. 2008, $6.9 million. 2017, you're at $8.2 million. Next slide, same thing. The revenue, the expenditures follow the revenue. 2008, 6.9 million. Now you're at 7.8 million. Next slide is the general fund balance. And this has fluctuated a little bit, and you're at one little bit over $1 million right now. 2015 was a little bit higher because you got a large on behalf payment from the state, so. There a lot of transfers were not made in that year. Next slide, general fund change in fund balance has fluctuated a little bit. At for 2017, you had a $14,000 decrease. Next slide shows your 10% calculation. So like the state of Alaska does not want you to hold more than 10% of your fund balance based on this calculation. It's like whatever fund balance you have divided by the total current year expenditures, they don't want you to have more than 10%. So you met that qualification. You're right at 9.62%. Next slide shows your revenue and expenditures comparison for the food service program. But if you look over here, majority of the times, the expenditures were higher than your revenue for food service, but for 2017, your revenue is a little bit higher. Next slide is just student transportation. This one, the expenditures are usually higher than your revenue, and in 2017, you can see expenditures were quite a bit higher than your revenue. Next slide is your state of Alaska funding. So for 2017, you received approximately $6.8 million from the state. For this year, we have two findings that we're reporting, which is on page 95 and 96 of the financial statements. No question cost, and it's still an unmodified opinion on compliance. So if you want to go to page 95 of the financial statements real quick.
We don't have hard copies of them.
No, we don't. I have one copy if you want
to. Oh, you don't have the copies of the financial?
We didn't make the copies.
That's fine. It's fine.
It's
so, I'm just going to talk about the two findings. I think Karen, they already wrote up the corrective action for these findings, and I think it's pretty much you guys have already put it in place. So the finding this year was Sandy reconciliation.
Vicky, hold on just one second. They have it on there. They're kind of scrolling through it.
Okay.
Sure. No, that's okay. We just got a lot of papers and emails.
If you go to page 95, it's pretty easy there. So.
Okay, so
they're
on
95. Perfect. So down here, like this gives you like a summary of all of our compliance works that we do. So basically, you know, it shows us the type of the auditor's report on the financial statement. It's going to be unmodified. We are reporting one material weakness on internal control of financial reporting. And then we are reporting one significant deficiency on the state programs that we audited. So the first finding for 2017 is timely reconciliation of books and records. And this year, just the books and records were not timely reconciled. There were some adjustments that had to be made after year end. And then so that got us to the finding over there. So basically, I think the majority of the factor related to that was you guys changed your software this year, and then so the reconciliation process was a learning curve over there, and plus you had some staff turnover resulting on in things not being booked badly. But anyways, our recommendation is just allocate more resources and provide any training. But I think by now most of the software related issues are probably solved. So that's the first finding. The second finding is related to pupil transportation, your student transportation award. There's a reporting requirement where the number of students that are being transported over has to be reported to the state. And there was some times when the review process was not there. So one of the reports, the students were reported incorrectly. So since then, I think the correct action has been put in place. But those are the two findings we're reporting this year. And that's about all I have on the financial statements for this year. Like I was saying, we are almost close to being completed, and we expect to issue and be printed and done as of this Friday.
Sorry, Vicki, people are just looking. Do you guys have any questions, or do you want to ask any questions?
How can you accurately account for students riding the bus?
I can actually address this. So they give us a monthly riding report.
Well, they count how many.
They count, and then we're required to submit quarterly reports to the state. And to be honest, I didn't even think about verifying them. And so when they pulled their sample, and then they counted it out. They actually showed me. This is the auditors. They showed me how to reconcile that. I'm not a student transportation expert, so I didn't know that. But because I am submitting the reports and it's coming from the school district, and the school district is receiving the funds, then I need to be reconciling those reports. So it's been done for the first quarter. So it's a learning curve. It's, you know.
Well,
I didn't know either. Cheryl.
They count them?
So.
Okay.
Keep
account
every day.
Okay.
So
we learned a lot
this year, for sure. Do you guys have any other questions for Vicki?
I don't think so.
Not right now.
Okay.
Thank you, Vicki.
Thank you very much. And it's like I said, it's always nice to work with you guys over there. And this year is a little bit late, but we are there. And but anyways, all right, you guys have a good night.
Thank you for being so patient.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Do you guys have any questions of me?
I was going to ask, this was from 2016, but have our software issues in the learning curve, have those been resolved with the new system that's in place? Or?
Well, not entirely. Really, the first finding has a lot to do with the fact that we, in the end of October, we went from 75 hours in the finance office to 40 or 50. That's really the main issue, is that the bills got paid and people got paid, and those were the main priorities. So a lot of my tasks actually weren't done timely. And so, and then of course I went away middle of June, and so I did all the journal entries when I came back, which again is another learning curve because it's after the fiscal year. So it just was a perfect storm as far as years and not having enough staff in the office, having new software program, and I don't know if you guys remember, but it wasn't a great training experience with the software program. So I've self-taught a lot of how to use the program. They love the program. The auditors think the program is amazing. So that was a bonus as far as being able to get reports to them. It just, yeah. I mean, it's still a learning curve as far as the software program, but I feel way more confident than I did in June on it. So.
And she's being asked to come train in other districts now, so again, she also doesn't
not
get
the
to
company,
go anywhere.
But you.
Yeah, so they come up from other Catholic to do training.
So, I did save the district like $40,000 by stopping the training, but then it came at a cost to the district as well because I wasn't as prepared as I could have been for the, with the financial statements. But so,
I have questions. I know, student transportation went up about 50% in the last 10 years. Do we know what's the big contributing factors to that?
You know, we go out to bid every 5 years, and so it really, they come up with their daily cost, and then they multiply that times however many buses that they're doing. 10 years ago, I don't know exactly how many buses were run, if there was one bus or two bus, but our current funding that we receive from the state does not cover our current contract for services. And then we also do, we contract out for some additional services, like the trips out to Banana Point for teams that are traveling, or the kids to the hatchery. Those are also coming out of the transportation fund. We do have a healthy fund balance in there, and so I do anticipate for the next few years that transportation costs will be covered and we won't have to transfer into the from the general fund into transportation. So I can't really address what it looked like 10 years ago.
I know that there was no kindergarten bus when my kids went to kindergarten bus, and then there became a kindergarten bus.
Yeah, that was
that made another at
they
that
also,
time.
I believe, part of that was purchasing the handicapped ADA bus. I think
increased.
Some of that cost actually was transferred to us at the last.
And didn't several
that.
Years ago they changed the formula on how it's
yes
did that
how
too.
You are how you're
state.
Given the state gives you money for transportation.
Yes.
It used to be a flat amount.
It used to be fully funded, yes.
That's what it was.
Funded.
And now it's by student count.
Yeah.
Yep.
And a lot of school districts I know are struggling with the same thing that they don't have. They're not receiving enough money to cover their own transportation costs as well. So.
This is a very common trend across the state.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That'll probably all affect it too.
Anything else?
So in other words, don't let your kids get their license. Make them ride the bus.
Ride the bus.
Good advice.
That's the lesson of the day.
Yeah,
and I do want to recognize Karen's efforts.
Yeah,
thank you, Karen.
Thank you. For all of the time and energy that has gone into making this. She is the one that's the most upset about having any sort of
I am.
Finding, and I keep saying they are what they are. I mean,
two minor findings.
It's all
yeah.
out there,
on the
so.
Perfect storm year.
Yeah, she's way more
excellent.
Concerned about it than I knew people would
do.
So.
I'm a perfectionist. What
you
can I
that.
Say?
Well, we're glad for you.
We
spot
we
you
appreciate
are.
That.
Doesn't it look like so much fun? Don't you wish you guys could
all
be
pages?
No.
All day long.
Thank you. I appreciate actually the office support because we are actually quite a team. And they all help too. And then, of course, just the support of the board and the community as well. So, thank you.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you.
Okay, any other discussion on the motion that was to approve the fiscal year 17 school district audit conducted by BDO? Do we need to, there's no money with this, so we can just take a voice vote, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. All opposed?
Did we have a second? I'm sorry.
It was Jay.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
So motion passes. Now we'll move into strategic plan 2018 to 2021 adoption. The board and superintendent will review and discuss the newly developed strategic plan. The plan was created by a committee of staff members, parents, community members, and administration under the guidance of Timmy Tullis, who is from the Alaska Association of School Boards. She is the Director of Board Development and Field Services. So I make a motion to approve the vision, mission, beliefs, and goals of the strategic plan for 2018 to 2021. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Sarah. And now we'll do a little discussion. Erica, do you want to discuss it? So there were quite a few community members that were present. Sarah and myself were present from the board, and Erica was there. Both of our principals were in attendance. We had two students, Jack Beyer and Maria Funt. We had several staff members, Mary Midkiff, Ginger Evans, Bridget Whitstock. These are our staff members. And then we had community members, Paul Olson, Holly Flint, Jeanette Ness, Chandra Thornburg, Meredith Evans, and Meg Litster. And I think I've covered everyone. And we had two days of working through a strategic plan, what the school district will look like for the next few years, what is our high aspirations, what we want to shoot towards, even though we may not end up there, and then our vision and mission and beliefs around those things. Our strategic plan will help give our superintendent, as well as the rest of the administration, some sort of guidance on where we as school board members believe that the school district should go and how they should operate. So, do you have any other
I thought,
comments?
Just to comment that we appreciated the work of the parents and community members and business partners that were part of the process and the students. We always know that the school people are going to be, you know, invested in it, but it's always nice when you have other people that are really invested in the process and have a lot of feedback and thoughts and suggestions, and I thought it was a really great group of people to work with, and people felt free, I think, to speak their mind, and everybody didn't agree about everything all the time, and people explained their reasons and why they felt strongly about certain things, and I thought it was a great process, and I've been through several of them, so I also will say it was nice to come out of it with something that's actually accomplished. You know, sometimes you do work for a couple days and then it leads to another week of work. And we have a lot of work to do, but I mean the actual, you know, structure of a plan is here. And I think that was a great way to leave the 2 days. And I think all the parents, community members, and people that were on the committee felt still pretty really positive about it and wanted to be part of the next steps.
Mm-hmm.
So parts of subcommittees and, you know, that sort of thing coming up. So I think that was also really a positive outcome from it. And so if it is approved tonight, then we will put it out there and make it available and be expecting some requests to be on subcommittees in the next 4 or 5 months. So that's where we are. Any questions or anything for us?
I heard good feedback from a couple of the people that are on the committee. They really enjoyed it, and they had a good time, and we're thankful that we asked people to be on it.
Great. And there were, the last hour was really intense, I think, because there was all these things that came up on it, like these really specific, you know,
goals.
Everybody was really
plans.
Into it, and so there was a lot of things kind of put up, and that's what Timmy told us, the person that was, you know, moderating it for us, was, like, you know, we kind of were a little overwhelmed, and she's like, nope, just get it all down, and then these are just ideas that are in there, you know, for thinking about strategies, you know, for what to do, and it was exciting to hear just people's thoughts and ideas about it, and people had some great ideas. There were some really good ideas. So, I think that was it. Any questions, Jen?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Okay, so let's vote on the motion, which is to approve the 2018 to 2021 strategic plan. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. All right. So now we will move on to 16.3, which is HB 156, Sex Education Requirements. So a bill that was passed last year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year from the state of Alaska requires that instructors and the curriculum, literature and materials for the course must be approved by the school board. Principal Rick Dormer will present updated information and be available to answer questions. So I will move to approve the resources and teaching staff as presented by Rick Dormer. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. So let's go ahead and have some discussion.
If I can call to the stand, am I supposed to say that? Mr. Vince Ferdinand, Coach Vince.
And Miss Littleton, we'll be doing this every year? Is that your understanding? I know we just talked about today in the office.
That is what I was told at my conference, is that it needs to be approved every year, even if the presenters are not any different.
Sure.
It's just every year.
Yeah, no, good question. There's nothing wrong with this. So Mr. V teaches health. It's to all freshmen. Right now we are wrapping up at the end of the semester here with half of the freshman class and the other half is in PE, and then we're going to swap here in January, and he's going to get the other half of the health class, the other half of the freshman, I'm sorry, in health. And he has sent home, actually, talk about the letter, and then the presenter coming in tomorrow, and what's going on.
Yeah, so we did send a letter home with parents like we agreed last year. It was approved by Rick, and it was saying this is the material that we're going to cover, these are the lessons that we're going to teach, and we discussed if you'd like to come talk to me about these lessons, or if you don't want your son or daughter participating in one of these, please let me know, sign this letter, bring it back to me, and we can have an alternate assignment. And I did not receive any letters back. We were planning on having a guest speaker tomorrow, but she was a doctor at the hospital and she can no longer come in. So we have her material. I think we have the material, but...
That was the first PowerPoint we sent to you quite a while ago. That was Dr. Heyer. And she'd come in the spring and offered her services to help all grads, I think they were all classes, to do a presentation, a lot of kids, and then got pretty busy. And so Mr. V had booked her to come here. She got tied up. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then schedule conflicts. I guess when you're a doctor in town, there's only a couple of you. You got to be there on the media. So she's not able to come in, and she won't be able to come in this semester, but we're hoping that she'll be able to come in next semester. And I spoke with the health nurse today, the public health nurse, Erin Michaels. She's probably going to be able to come in on Monday if we approve her stuff, which we did last year, same material. It's just a good resource for the kids to come in and, you know, see who she is, where they can go if they have questions. And she presents the same material that I present, just in a different way. So it's good for the kids. So, yeah.
So when we sent you the PowerPoint, you and Mr. V's letter, I know you just got tonight, of course. Again, we've got a few days, so if something comes up as you take through, there's two PowerPoint presentations. Again, they are the same ones that you approved last year. And the same presenters last year, but I don't want you to pressure. There's a lot of stuff in there. It is. There are some graphic pictures. Does a great job of saying careful graphic pictures, you know, when you talk about sexually transmitted infections, et cetera.
Right. And I think one of the slides, there's like 65 slides, and she's only coming in for about 50 minutes. I don't know how long you could. I don't know if we get through the whole slides, but it is. If it's on there, I feel like we need to approve it. So.
Sorry, are you using Dr. Heyer's that you just sent us, or are you using last year's?
The one that we approved last year.
Okay.
If she doesn't have a conflict, if Erin Michaels doesn't have a conflict, but Dr. High won't be able to come in this semester.
So we'll be using that one.
We're hoping for next semester towards May. We're hoping for May. Maybe if we can schedule it out in January, May will be available. So.
Yeah. Erin Michaels is someone we always bring in just because she's such a great resource for the kids. She's so. I want to say much more accessible, no disrespect to the doctors, just, you know, with her schedule and her role in the community. So she was going to come in anyway and just be a presenter, and so she will always come in every semester, and whether or not I'll be her or doctor to do the sex ed talk. But again, we got her, it was the same PowerPoint from last year, and I know I just sent to the superintendent 3 hours ago, we just realized with the switcheroo today, but so you will have that soon, as well as the letters. So you have it, so, but
I
again,
it's exactly the same as last year, but I just wanted you to have it. So
yes, because we know this is a hot topic. It should be. It's important information. It's kind of sensitive information.
So if there's a possibility of Dr. Heyer coming in next semester, are we including that on the approval today?
I would say yes, since you had that one earlier.
If you don't mind. Thank you. That's smart.
Now, so
yep.
It's not one more
approval. So we can amend the...
Yeah, sorry about the swatch.
No, it's okay. It's blanket resources and teaching staff is presented.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
So we can make record of Dr. Heyer being approved or not approved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
mm-hmm.
your prerogative, or her PowerPoint that we sent last week, approved or not approved.
Mm-hmm.
That's the new part, I guess, addition as a resource.
And if parents want to see this, they'll just... contact you, the present.
Yep, absolutely.
PowerPoint.
Yep.
They can just call the main office and get it from me or Mr. V. Either way, Corey will get us in touch. Yeah.
or any other materials that are listed on the letter as part of the mission
yep.
model materials.
Yeah, I think there's 20 lessons, I think, during for the unit. So.
And with everything listed, if you saw the letter too, it does give the option there. If they say, boy, you know, this looks pretty good, but this one lesson, so they can circle one lesson just initial for that
yeah.
one. It is an all or nothing type of thing with that extensive of a list. So.
And if people have questions, they can always come
mm-hmm.
in, talk to Mr. B,
yeah.
or talk to Mr. Homer.
Go ahead and talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Time,
so.
Any other questions for us?
Questions or discussion?
Went there pretty thoroughly last year. So
yeah, you guys did.
Yeah,
with the plastic
yeah.
wall, you did.
Well, we'll meet here again
there.
Next year. Every
maybe
year.
Maybe.
Oh,
okay.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So the motion is to approve the presenters and the materials that were presented tonight to be taught in the schools for the next coming year. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No.
So, motion passes. All right, and I scrolled away from my agendas. Okay. Now, we are moving on to additional comments from board members. No? All right, some upcoming dates and meeting announcements. December 14th, that is
Thursday.
This Thursday, is the middle school winter concert, 7 p.m. at Wright Auditorium. December 18th will be the Indian Education Committee meeting from 6 to 7 p.m. at the middle school high school library. I'm assuming that's open to the public, or? Tuesday, December 19th is the high school winter concert, 7 p.m. at Wright Auditorium. Winter break begins December 25th and lasts through January 5th, of course, including
plus weekends.
Mm-hmm. Plus weekends. And due to the holiday schedule, our board agenda for January 9th, our next board meeting was already set by myself, the board president, and Sarah during last agenda setting, so we don't have to ask for anyone to set the agenda for the coming.
Unless there's something you want to add to.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and you can always
talk
to me. Mm-hmm. Do you want?
On the 9th of January, we will have Campus Connection at 12:30. Is there anyone who has a desire to go in and talk to Joe or Angela about what might be on the agenda?
I can do it.
Yes, Sarah? Great. And then our regular school board meeting will be here at the library at 7 p.m. on January 9th. Any future agenda items to add to the agenda for January? No?
Not at this time.
All right.
It's a change.
So now we will be moving into other new business. We will be recessing to executive session for subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, provided that the person may request a public discussion, more specifically, superintendent evaluation. Erica, would you like a public discussion?
It doesn't matter.
All right. So is there a second for that motion to recess into executive session? Seconded by Sarah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We are recessing to executive session.
This live broadcast of the Petersburg School Board meeting is brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset, from stamp or teacup collections to houses and boats of all sizes, and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.